Last week on the Let's Get Real podcast, I mentioned I was going to speak on the whole subject of moralistic therapeutic deism. I believe moralistic therapeutic deism is actually the catalyst for why many Gen Zs today are no longer in the faith. It's because the churches have not done any discipleship. So over the next couple of weeks, I want to deal with this subject and deal with it from this perspective head on why we are not reaching our younger generation. My name is Rob Lundberg, and you're listening to the Let's Get Real podcast. Thank you for joining us on the Let's Get Real podcast. My name is Rob Lundberg, and I am the host. I want to let you know that we are seriously praying about whether or not we're going to continue with the audio part of our ministry here. We're looking at YouTube and possibly doing YouTube Live, which means that podcasting may change, but as of right now, there have been no decisions, but I will let you know that that is something that we are considering in the not-too-distant future. But I mentioned last week about this whole idea of moralistic therapeutic deism. And you know what really breaks a lot of our hearts is the fact that we're seeing articles. This past week, Sean McDowell came out with an article about how Gen Z is more secular and why many Gen Zs, ages 25 and up to 30, are actually atheists or nuns. And I may put a link on the descriptor on this article because it's very, very insightful, even though it is a short article. But I started coming across this whole idea of moralistic therapeutic deism a few years ago when one of my students in my Germana club, my Ratio Christi club at Germana, came up to me and confessed that he had been experiencing some difficulties. And part of it was because of his home life, and he grew up in a Christian home. And he was along the lines, he said, Rob, he says, I think I'm a deist. So we had to sit down and we had to talk. And what we ended up concluding was the fact that he had a faulty view of God, a faulty view of how God interacts, and then also with the whole idea of relativism, that morals were relative because God was more concerned about him being happy than anything else. So with that said, I want to deal with the whole subject of moralistic therapeutic deism. And then I want to deal with it from the perspective of anti-intellectualism of the church. And like I said in the intro, I'm going to deal with this probably in a couple episodes, so we'll be here audio in a few episodes anyway, and we'll see how the Lord leads us as far as that. But back in 2005, there was a seminal work by two people by the name of Christian Smith and Melissa Lundquist Denton. The book was entitled Soul Searching, The Religious and Spiritual Lives of American Teenagers. The main finding with this work was that American teenagers were incredibly inarticulate about their religious beliefs, and most are virtually unable to offer any serious theological understanding. Now, I've written on this subject, anti-intellectualism in the church and what happens when the student goes off to college. And I've written on those on my blog. But with that said, moralistic therapeutic deism, or MTD, not MTV, but MTD, Mike Tango Delta. Folks, this is the main catalyst. This is the major thrust of a lot of young people in the teenage realms of the churches today. Now, what do we mean by MTD? What do we mean by moralistic therapeutic deism? This is the main catalyst, and this is why so many young people today are not able to articulate about their faith. So when you take this whole thing and you add it to the secular cultural ideologies that are invading the churches today, this is essentially steeped with sexual hedonism, nihilism, and when you go mix those things together, you have a culture headed for spiritual disaster. And you have a cultural spiritual disaster dumpster fire, even not seeing the spark lit in the churches, because the churches have the kids Wednesday nights and Sunday mornings, and then the public school has them the rest of the week. Now, the way that Smith and Denton described moralistic therapeutic deism consists of these beliefs. First, the moralistic tenet is that God wants people to be good, nice, and fair to one another, as taught in the Bible and most world religions. This is the moral part of this moralistic therapeutic deism. The therapeutic side of this is that the central goal in life is to be happy. Is everybody happy? And to feel good about oneself. Folks, this is the therapeutic side of it. And it doesn't matter on matters of morality, for example, things like sexual behavior. And then the deistic side of this is the fact, or the aspect, if you will, is this belief that there is a God that exists who created and ordered the world that we see around us and watches over all humans on earth. But God does not need to be particularly involved in the life of people except when God is needed to resolve a problem for us. And this God is okay with good people going to heaven when they die. Of course, you know, you don't hear any of the gospel in any of this. You know, God wants us to be happy, wants us to be moral. He wants us to be good, nice, and everything like that. But don't ask God to do anything unless you're in trouble. And folks, this is not biblical Christianity. This is not biblical faith. Now, the generations that we see today with us is the fact that there is a creed that I've mentioned in past episodes that I'm bringing up again, because this is becoming more and more as we draw near to the return of Jesus Christ. We are dealing with this mantra, if you will, of whatever. And folks, that should concern us. You know, if you look at this description, you can see and hear relativism wreaking havoc in this ideology. You know, you hear from our kids and even peers chanting the mantra, whatever, when they are told to do something by a parent or somebody in authority. Yes, the mantra of whatever is no longer a new mantra. In fact, it is impacting even the most religiously affiliated U.S. team, and they're showing more and more that they are not particularly interested in espousing and upholding the beliefs of their faith traditions. It is even impacting the communities of faith like the church and church youth groups, who are failing in attempts to educate and equip their youth to give reasons why the Christian faith is true. Now, does this mean that apologetics is not necessary? Absolutely not. This does not mean that at all. But folks, we need to understand that apologetics almost must take a different angle in helping the church today. Many kids today I've run across from the local Christian high school here in Fredericksburg when I was in car sales for 17 years are walking away from their faith. And folks, they've even taken a Christian apologetics class with a full semester of apologetics. Now, they either have to evaluate how they do apologetics, or we have to evaluate the role of apologetics and how we as apologists need to engage the young people today. Folks, apologetics is becoming more so of a rescue mission than it is an evangelistic arm. Yet even though apologetics has a rescue mission and an evangelistic arm to it, we're focusing more on the damage control that is being done in the church today rather than what's going on in the outside world. And of course, we use apologetics in our evangelism. But folks, we have a problem. I can't express this enough. You know, when you think of moral choices today, the religion of the culture is sex. You look at everything that has been legislated over the last few or the last couple administrations. Go back to 1973 with the abortion ruling. The fact that now they call it health care. Look at DOMA, the fact that Defense of Marriage Act that was signed by a liberal president, and then another liberal president comes and strikes down what one president did. So now that we have same-sex marriage being legalized, we have homosexuality being pushed on us as a normative. Folks, this is not good. And then we go and we look inside the church, and we see that the culture has affected the church and affected the church in such a way where now parents are throwing their hands up in the air and they're going, what do I do? But folks, when it comes to moral choices and other things engaging in religious discussions, we get a lot of this whatever, you know, a person believes is just fine. If that's what a person wants is fine, is usually the common response. You believe what you want to believe, I believe what I want to believe, some things like that. So to give you an example, not too long ago, I was involved in a conversation with a coworker who also graduated from this local Christian high school, who had also taken an apologetics class and when they were there in that time. And we were discussing a conversation that I had in a chapter meeting about Islam versus Christianity. And they told me that whatever that person believes is fine. Don't get so upset about it. Well, folks, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father but by me. He came, he lived a sinless life, he pointed people to the kingdom of God and the gospel of Jesus Christ, and he died for our sins, and he rose on the third day according to the scriptures. Basically, what this person was saying to me was that why bother discussing differing beliefs? Whatever a person wants to believe is fine because God is the same for all religions. And folks, that's not true either. And folks, this is where progressive Christianity is coming in. So you wonder why we have progressive Christianity today. It's because of the fact of moralistic therapeutic deism and the emergent church and all of this melding together to form this whole thing on social justice in the church, Jesus being a social justice warrior within the progressive Christianity movement. And the progressive Christians go and say about the cross of Jesus Christ, they even go and say that the cross of Jesus Christ was cosmic child abuse. Folks, that's heresy. That's not true. It's not biblical. So, you know, this casual whatever, moralistic, therapeutic deism is marking so much of American moral and theological landscapes today, adolescent and even older, and is a substitute for serious, responsible thinking. More importantly, it is a verbal cover for an embrace of moral and religious relativism. According to most religious teenagers' opinions and views, one can hardly call them worldviews, are vague, limited, and often quite at variance with the actual teachings of their own faith. And we wonder why we are losing our kids. You know, so many can, you know, today, they scoff at the 70 to 75% of the kids walking away from their faith the first year while they're in college. But if you want to see how I think this all together ties together, here's my take on it. First, if you look at the cultural today in our media, our music, including Christian music, our politics, and what we celebrate, we can see that it is a nihilistic philosophy, the philosophy of meaninglessness and sexual hedonism. Just listen to the musical lyrics today of most popular music. Just watch the award shows pontificating self-aggrandizements. Secondly, adding to this, moralistic therapeutic deism is an influential catalyst for why we see students walking away. Here is the regression. Let me give you that regression. We have this whole concept of insulation. Now, when we talk about insulations, because when a student goes to school, they insulate themselves because they cannot find peers that can help them in supporting them from the assault for coming from professors in the classrooms and the peers in the lounge discussing assignments on social, scientific, and moral subjects. Then, secondly, there's an influence by moralistic therapeutic deism. The next step in the downward spiral is isolation. They go from insulation to isolation, and isolation is how the enemy of the soul attacks with the challenge to authority to God's truth, espousing moral and religious relativism. Let me say something about isolation. With this whole thing with COVID, don't let your being isolated set you apart from the fold of the flock of a local church. If you're sick, stay home. But if you're not sick and you are well and you just got a little bit of sniffles here and there, don't let the pandemic keep you home when you can be fellowshipping with believers. Enough said on that right now. There's a third element to this, and that moralistic therapeutic deism provides a pseudo-comfort and a faulty understanding of who God is, making God a small g God that is the same for all religions and only will intervene when we want him because something bad is going on. Moralistic therapeutic deism has no concern for God's intervention of salvation in the lives of people through the person of Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit. Instead of all good people going to heaven, we have to ask the question, fourthly, and what do we mean by good? This is the question that those entrapped in moralistic therapeutic deism, they can't answer that. There's no way in God's green earth that they can answer that. Folks, you know, what we need to do is we need to look inside oneself for the answers and provide an answer that can be debated. But God's answer is outside of ourselves and points to him as the ultimate answer. When Jesus was asked the question, good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus asked the teacher of the law, what do you mean by good? There's only one good who is God. So to say and use the term good, we have to ask the question, with what standard are we using to determine what good is? So God's answer is found in the person of Jesus Christ, which is outside of ourselves, and he is the ultimate answer. So as I wrap up the show today, what do we need to be doing? Well, folks, youth ministers and pastors need to recognize this as a problem. They need to recognize this, that this is a danger in our churches that is already present. It is a clear and present danger, and it needs to be addressed before we start losing more souls. We need to be able to preach apologetically. We need to train people how to critically think and even teach them Christian doctrine in our churches. And when the doctrine is come up in a passage that is being preached, pastor, you need to bring it forth and explain it and defend it before the people. Because 30% of the people sitting in many pews today across America are wondering whether you actually believe and why you believe what you believe is true. They're asking those questions inside of themselves. Too many surveys are coming out going and confirming this. Also, churches need not to be skittish about bringing in trained apologists to come alongside and hold seminars in their churches that will answer questions like, does truth exist? Where does truth come from? Are morals absolute or relative? Does God exist, and what kind of God are we talking about? Does God want me to be happy? What about the Bible? Is the Bible credible? Did Jesus really rise from the dead? What about the problem of evil? And other questions that are plaguing the minds of our kids today. This ministry has presentations that we would love to come to your church and help you, to come alongside you, not to overtake your church, but to equip your people so that you as a pastor can equip your mission of Ephesians 4:12 to equip the body for the works of service that God has given them to do. And that is what, how the church can come together and be able to work together hand in hand and be able to stem the tide of much of the plague that we're seeing in our churches today of moralistic therapeutic deism. Thank you for listening to our show today. Thank you for tuning in and engaging me as I share with you a burden that has been with us for quite some time. I wanted to resurrect that burden today because it is a problem. You can thank Sean McDowell. I will try and get the link to that article so that you can read it. It's a very short article, and there's also a link to an interview that he did with a lady discussing this whole idea of our Gen Z kids becoming secular. This is a problem, folks, and we need to address it. Thank you for listening to the Let's Get Real podcast. Next week, we're going to deal with the whole idea of anti-intellectualism in the church. Folks, I want to let you know that faith is not blind. Faith is not without evidence. The writer of Hebrews said, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. We have knowledge of the Christian faith. We believe that knowledge, and we trust in what Jesus Christ has gone and done. Folks, those are the three prongs of a biblical faith. We'll talk more about that next week when we deal with this anti-intellectualism in the church, because I will tell you right now, I am convinced that many people in the church today do not hold to a true biblical faith, and I'll have statistics for you from the Barna folks next week to go and defend that. So until next week, this is Rob Lundberg from the Let's Get Real podcast. As you go out this week, go out and give them heaven, and we'll be back with you next week. Lord bless.